Support for The Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette-Mail, providing both sides of the stories on its dueling editorial pages, Charleston Daily Mail and the Charleston Gazette editorial pages. Check it out at wvgazettemail.com. And welcome to The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and today we're going to talk about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is making its way through the West Virginia legislature. Is it about religious freedom or is it about discrimination? First, I want to welcome Rick Wilson with the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And we have, filling in for Lori Lynn, who's on maternity leave, we have Whitney Burdett, who is an editorial writer with the Charleston Daily Mail. Hey, Whitney.
Hey, how you doing?
So, okay, well, let's get going. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So supporters say this basically is a bill that allows individuals to be able to exercise their religious beliefs in their businesses, in their workplaces. Opponents say that this is a license to discriminate against people because of their sexuality. Rick, where do you stand on this thing?
Well, I think the First Amendment's worked pretty well for me as far as religious freedom.
Why should a baker, Whitney, be required to bake a cake for a gay wedding when they don't believe in gay weddings?
I don't think that they should be required to under the law. I mean, I think as a business owner, you know, you certainly have the right to refuse service to anyone. I mean, we see no shoes, no shirt, no service, you know, plastered all over business windows and doors before you even go in. So, you know, I mean, this isn't exactly the same, but I think, you know, as a business owner, you should have the right to be able to refuse service to anyone.
We had a public hearing on this that was televised on the West Virginia Channel and streamed online at wvpublic.org. And as part of that, a young man stood up and spoke about his desire to express his religious beliefs beyond the church doors.
The problem is that a lot of people restrict religion to the doors of the church. But the church is just a building. The real true church is the people that are in the church that make up the church. And there are people that would want people to believe that people of faith need to check their religious beliefs at the door when they leave church instead of carrying them out. And by doing so, that causes a true person of faith to deny who they are as being a member of the church and being holding deeply held religious beliefs.
A lot of Christians, Hobby Lobby is a good example of that, don't believe in contraception. Should a pharmacist at Rite Aid who doesn't believe in contraception be forced to dispense of contraception?
You know, suppose it's against my religion to drive under 85 miles an hour. You know, in a democracy, in the public sphere, people make laws that do that. You know, and there are many people whose religion is based on white supremacy, the Christian identity movement. According to their religion, people of color are mud people, and Jewish people are the spawn of Satan. You know, you could argue your case that you can discriminate against people in housing, public accommodation, employment, based on those beliefs.
Now, those things don't go away. I mean, what this does is it allows you to have your day in court where you can make an argument based on this new law that your religious freedom should be taken into account. But that doesn't give you carte blanche, is my understanding, to go against protected groups. Now, in West Virginia state law, the protected groups include things like race, religion, sex, age. But there's a really big group that is not protected under state law, which is gays, lesbians, transgender people.
And I think people with disabilities, too. I don't think they're included yet in the statute.
So, Whitney, I know you're kind of on the fence about this. What do you think about the pharmacist or the pharmacy tech who doesn't want to dispense of contraception? And let's say that person gets fired by Rite Aid for not doing that job. Should that person be able to sue in state court to try to get their job back through this act?
I think this is an illustration of what happens when, you know, you have a case where one person, where does one person's freedom to practice their religion end and another person's freedom to purchase contraceptives begin, especially when those sort of intersect? You know, I think if you are going to take a job, especially in the medical field as a doctor, as an ambulance driver, as a pharmacy tech, there comes a point where you just have to do your job.
Is that the Kim Davis argument? Is that the Kim Davis argument? This is the clerk in Kentucky that famously refused to sign a wedding certificate for a gay couple and got taken to court for it. Is this what we're talking about here, Rick?
Well, I mean, imagine a librarian who won't check out books to you because they don't like the author or the subject or or whatever. And if you, I mean, if doing your job causes you that much difficulty, maybe you might want to think of a different career path. I think I'm with Whitney on that one.
And there's a woman in the public hearing who talked a little bit about, is this really the thing that we want to be talking about right now as we try to attract young people and businesses into the state?
Our state has a lot of challenges. We need to improve our infrastructure, improve our environment, improve our job situation. We need to welcome everyone to this state. We need to bring young people in and stop the outflow of young people leaving. Mountaineers are always free. They're free to be who they are, to practice their religious freedom, but not to discriminate against others.
So, you know, there's news reports that Indiana, you know, lost about $60 million in convention and other trade because a lot of major corporations have non-discrimination policies, you know, and they don't want to take their thing in to places where they feel like their employees or potential customers wouldn't be welcome. It was interesting that someone representing, I believe, the Marriott testified in opposition to this because they're in the worldwide hospitality business and they want to make sure that their employees and their guests are treated well wherever they go. So
the argument against that, though, is that supposedly, and I've not done my research on this, 21 other states have passed, quote unquote, similar laws. I'd have to look and see how similar those laws are. And there is a federal law that was passed and supported by a lot of liberals. This law seems to be broader.
I think, well, you know, it's interesting that I've been thinking a lot about the idea of persecution lately, and I think a little clarification might help. In 1980 in El Salvador, there were three nuns, one Ursuline and two Marinol nuns, and a layperson who went there to stand with and support the peasants and the poor, which is kind of a Jesus-y thing to do. And they were kidnapped by the Salvadoran National Guard. They were tortured, raped, murdered, and buried in an unmarked grave. That's persecution for the gospel's sake. I'm not sure discriminating against gays rises to that. Not being able to discriminate against gays rises to the threshold.
I can understand where some people in the religious community are coming from, you know, saying that they've been persecuted. I agree with Rick that it's not so much persecution. It's their thoughts and their beliefs are being challenged. And in our society where, you know, we have this free, open ability to practice our religion, that can feel like persecution.
I've been joined by Whitney Burdett of the Charleston Daily Mail editorial page. Thank you, Whitney.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott. Thank you.